Okay, everybody. Good morning once more. Today I'm going to give you a lecture about slow cinema. Slow cinema or neo-modernism, because the last name is my proposition of this term, of this phenomenon. Neo-modernism and slow cinema, the phenomenon which is very well visible in contemporary art cinema, but we don't really know what is this, the slow cinema. It's the movement in contemporary art house cinema, or maybe the tendency, the trend, maybe just the circle of filmmakers, or the concept of film criticisms, or cinephilers. We don't know. But slow cinema today is one of the most popular and one of the most attractive form of contemporary art house cinema. Slow cinema, was this the film? You know? Torino Horse by Bellator. One of the most famous phenomenon. So, what is this slow cinema? I think you know something about this phenomenon, because it's one of the most popular today. It's a central and probably the most popular tendency or movement in contemporary cinema, art house, of course, cinema. I'm not going to give you the something like synthesis of this movement, because it's not possible. Especially because it's contemporary cinema, modern cinema, so it's not very easy to find the most principal elements of this phenomenon. I think we are still in progress, so we don't know what kind of phenomenon is when we think about slow cinema. So the better solution is to give you some fragments of film for film analysis. So at the end of our lecture, I'd like to show you four, maybe five fragments of films, and I hope we undertake a kind of film analysis and trying to find the most fundamental elements of this phenomenon, this tendency. But before we have to start with description of some fundamental components of slow cinema. First, names. So if we have problems with definition, we don't have problems with creating the list of the most important filmmakers, which are taking into consideration when we think about slow cinema. The list of filmmakers is almost the same. Alexandre Sekurov from Russia, Bellator from Hungary, Bruno Dumont from France, Tsai Ming-liang, famous Taiwanese director, Lisandro Alonso from Argentina, Lav Diaz from Philippines, Eugene Green from France, Carlos Reigadas, and Amat Escalante from Mexico. Ursula Antoniak, she is Polish filmmaker, but she's working at Netherlands. In Holland, Michelangelo Frammartino from Italy, Cristi Puiu from Romania, Lisandro Alonso, Lisandro Alonso from Argentina, Sharonas Bartas, Lithuania, and Fred Kellerman from Germany, and a lot of different filmmakers. So slow cinema, slow filmmakers. The list of slow filmmakers is very often the same. This is the canonical canon of filmmakers of slow cinema. So this phenomenon is, as you can see, transnational and post-colonial. So it's not the one big country or the circle of countries like in the modernism period, like in the 60s or 70s, when we have France, Great Britain, Italy as the most important countries for this modernistic period of history of film. In this case, we've got something more broad. Whole world, different countries, sometimes very small countries, sometimes countries without the big cinematic heritage are very important in this model of cinema, in slow cinema. For example, Lithuania films or Filipiny today is the one of the most famous and one of the most powerful country for slow cinema. So it's not a school, maybe it's not the movement, but rather the circle of independent filmmakers making films around the world, but in the kind of separation to themselves. They developed their own private poetics, their own private aesthetics, and we've got some elements similar, some elements coherent, but it's not very easy to compare Bruno Dumont and Bellator, because this preposition of film aesthetics is sometimes very different and separate. Although some elements are mutual, and very often we can find the same heritage for all of them, the same source of inspirations. We've got also the same patterns of this phenomenon, the same patterns of film school, because this phenomenon is not very interesting for film study academics. Maybe because contemporary film is not very easy for analysis, and slow cinema is rather interesting for film critics and festival programmers, and in those circles and those organizations, among those peoples, we can find the most appropriate definitions of this phenomenon, film criticism, slow cinema. So, for example, a few the most important names: Harry Tuttle, who created the term contemporary contemplative cinema. He is one of the most influential in this movement, in this circle. And he said that the most important factors of slow cinema are plotlessness, wordlessness, slowness, and alienation. Jonathan Romney is one of the most influential film critics working at Sight and Sound magazine, and he created a term, slow European art cinema. And he said that the most important elements, components of this phenomenon are poetry, contemplation, intensification of the process of watching films, cinematic time without interruptions, ellipses, and activity of film characters. He said that we must be, the viewer must be very conscious, must be very aware of time inside the film. We must feel the time. The time is something materialistic in this kind of films, Jonathan Romney said. And this is the main difference between, ordinary mainstream art house cinema and slow cinema. In slow cinema, the time is visible, and that's the main difference between ordinary mainstream art house cinema and slow cinema. And some the most famous books or blogs, because book is not sometimes the best source of information about slow cinema. Sometimes we've got the another forms of communication, because we are living in the new form of cinephilia, which was the fantastic movement of 50s, 60s, 70s. Today is the kind of renaissance of cinephilia because of internet, and for example blogs and other forms of communication are very advisable and very helpful for slow cinema. So for example, Harry Tuttle is the owner and creator of internet blog Contemporary Cinema of Contemplation. But some of them, Kenneth Murfield, Cardullo, Biro, Tiago De Luca, Flanagan, maybe especially Flanagan, he's the quite young film academic, is one of the very few person who is recognizable in this circle as a specialist in slow cinema. I've written also the book about slow cinema, cinematic neo-modernism, 2 years ago. Okay, some information about the background, about the most important thing which were fundamental for slow cinema. We can't forget that slow cinema is developed in the context of, as I said, renaissance of present-day cinephilia. So internet blogs, summer festivals, internet periodicals are very helpful for slow cinema, as well as something more, maybe illegal methods of film distributing. For example, rapid share in the past, today, torrent or surreal movies. So people have a lot of, a big access to the big heritage of contemporary cinema, and slow cinema is not a phenomenon which is distributed in regular distribution on movie theaters, but rather we can find these films in more or less legal sources of contemporary films, like for example torrent or surreal movies, as well as of course festivals, because we've got another form of film distributing. Not only the regular distribution in movie theaters, but something more democratic, something more various, like summer film festivals, which is the separate form of film distributing. And in those festivals, we can find a lot of art houses, our art house films, and slow cinema is a phenomenon which is developed because of this this phenomenon. Besides, we must remember about the evolution of film technique, film technology. So a lot of filmmakers can use the very handy, cheap technology, cinematic technology. So today we've got a lot of films, a lot of festivals, and this is a big problem with selection of this films. And for example, in 60s or 70s, we are completely dependent on some distributors who are the most powerful members, the most powerful persons who decided what kind of film we could watch. Today is completely different situation. A person, a viewer, can select on his or her own, and he or she can make film because it's very cheap, make watch film, and as well assess film, make a review. So both film production, distribution, and film criticism is not dependent on the professional circles, but people can do on their own. So that's the big difference in contemporary cinema, with especially the access to production, distribution, and just watching films. That's the very important fundament, very important important source of popularity of slow cinema. Some information about film language. Because we've got some specific components of film language in slow cinema, it's very hard to find some repetitive elements of film language. So we can distinguish especially the slow pace and rare editing. Very often we've got long shots and long duration of film, so the number of shots inside the film is very limited, sometimes only several, 15, 20, 25, because we've got one scene in one big long shot. It's very typical for slow cinema. Sometimes the duration of film is very long. For example, Satan Tango by Bellator lasts 7 hours and 30 minutes. Melancholia by Love Diaz, 8 hours. So these films are sometimes, very, very long. In this kind of films, in this kind of situation, in this kind of experience, we can really feel the time, because our situation as viewers are completely different than other films. In activity of film characters, that's a very important thing in this kind of cinema, because in mainstream cinema, in classical cinema, a character is dynamic. The character is doing something. Whatever he can do, sometimes it's a melodramatic story, sometimes action films, but a character is someone who is powerful and can do something. It's a purpose, it's a destination point in his activity, but the activity of character is the most important thing in classical and mainstream cinema. In slow cinema, the situation is very often completely different. The initial situation and the final situation is completely the same. A man, a character, a principal, a person in film, in slow cinema film, can't do anything because he is, for example, in the trap, or for example, in the kind of prison. It's not the real prison, but for example, his life is like a prison. He can't change anything in his life, and he is very often aware of that, is conscious of that. So he can't do anything, so he do completely nothing. And this inactivity of main character in slow cinema is the one of the most principal components, not only the thematic topics of slow cinema films, but also the film language, because the film language is completely changed because of inactivity of main character in these films. So the beginning and the end of this film are very often the same. That's the big opposition to classical and mainstream models of narration. It's a good time to take Gilles Deleuze's antinomy, dichotomy of Gilles Deleuze: cinema image movement and cinema image time. Slow cinema is the good example of the second one, because we know very well that in that kind of films, the movement, which is sometimes absent in these films, the movement is completely dependent on time. The time is something principal, something first, something fundamental in the situation. Of course, this time is also experienced in completely different manner, completely different way than in mainstream cinema. If we have, for example, Love Diaz's film about depression, because Melancholy is a film about depression, and we feel this time because of 8 hours duration of this film. So the situation of viewer and the situation of main character in this film is completely the same. So we are, he and me, and we are just bored by the situation, unchangeable situation, the situation without chances, opportunities to change and to find something pleasant, happy, and kind of solution of the situation. various strategies of the dramatization. Yes, because this kind of film is not a film in which psychological reasons, psychological ways of creating and showing a situation of characters are visible. We don't want to, in slow cinema, show the psychological fundament, psychological context. Rather distant observation, rather cold observation, without psychological reasons, psychological solutions, psychological explanations of situations. Of course, the emotional situation in that films, in those films, are very intense. We feel the emotional situation of characters in these films, but this emotional situation is created in these films not with the psychological or emotional factors typical for mainstream cinema, because rather film is a factory of emotions. These emotions are rather created inside our brain during the act of very specific model of experiencing, of experience of that film, of those films. Lack of social and psychological background, but metaphorical use of space, because this space is very often unusual in this film. So if we have the time, which is unchangeable, we've got just one space, for example, one room, one house, one open space in which we've got the inactive characters. So the space is recreated, transformed into, for example, a metaphor, allegory. So the metaphorical use of space is very famous, very typical component of film language, of slow cinema films. Lack of evident reasons of any character's reactions because of lack of psychological background. Plotless, limited components of conventional drama. As I said earlier, we don't have the situation in which the character is going from one place to another in order to realize to make for example I don't know the purpose, the goal, the aim, the task. No, very often in those films the situation is different. We've got the situation without plot, without actions, without conventional elements of fabula, rather duration, not action, but rather duration. So we are rather experience the time and the unchangeable situation. Lack of beginning and clear finish of the story. That's the consequence, the fact that anything is possible to change. Lack of popular narrative gimmicks like flashbacks, multi-riot stories, puzzle narrative concepts. It's a very distant cold observation. So without, for example, flashbacks, we've got the present time in these films. Present time without something in the past, because what's the past? The past is the only explanation of some situation, present situation. The past is useful for this kind of aims. In slow cinema, the situation is different. We are only just, as I said several times, observation. So without explanation, which were possible to use, possible to create by, for example, flashbacks. The same, of course, the situation in future is not possible to use in these films.
Communication
is one of the most important aspects of slow cinema, and we very often notice that dominant element of slow cinema films are just silence. The characters in these films are in silence. Conventional communication, very typical for contemporary films or TV series, because characters in contemporary films and TV series are very talkative. They are still talk about everything, but they are still talking. In slow cinema, the situation is completely different. People are in silence. And the more typical model of communication is to communicate by use, for example, body, physiological processes, the relation between a character and the space. So sometimes, for example, in Simon Liang, we've got the typical model of communication in which the people who are living in one flat or in one block of flats are communicated not by words, meetings, or talks, but for example for sounds, acoustic experiences from another flat. We are hearing somebody's presence in the next flat, but the communication is not possible. We only know that someone is behind the wall, but that's all. The communication in the classical mainstream conventional way of presence is not possible in this kind of films. Of course, voiceover and score, typical score, is also absent in these films, but acoustic space are very, very evident and powerful. If we don't have words and we don't have talks, conversations, classical conversations, so we've got a lot of fantastic elements of acoustic space surrounded characters. So natural sounds, or the sounds which is the proof of someone's presence, are the most important in these films. We know also very well that sometimes acoustic sphere, acoustic message, is completely different than everything what is visible in films. It's very often typical for cinema, for films. In slow cinema films, informations included in the visual space, visual sphere of film, are very limited very often. We don't know almost anything about character, about the space, about the situation. Watching what is visible in film. So sometimes the most important information in these films are conveyed, given by acoustic sphere, acoustic information. Sometimes acoustic message is in contrast, very evident contrast with this visual message. The relations between visual and acoustic messages are sometimes very visible. This contrast is very evident. Time. Of course, time is, as I mentioned, and temporal aspects of storytelling are in the central concern and interest of slow filmmakers. As I said, we've got in this film's slowness, long takes, static shots, very slow camera work, patient pace. Life is Moon Duane caused by grief, sorrow, pain, someone's death, melancholy and nostalgia. So all of these elements, like for example grief, sorrow, pain, melancholy, all of these elements are very connected with time. And if we want to show these elements, if we want to show this kind of feelings, which are central feelings in slow cinema films, we have to transform the classical models of film timing, film temporal aspects of films, and we have to transform, we have to change in order to fill the time in different way than in classical films. Gilles Deleuze, of course, is a good patron of this kind of experiments. So he said, for example, time is not dependent on the move and action, where activity of characters was the most important, but rather is independent on activity. And we often must watch the situation without the doings, events, actions, happenings. Life is like a prison, like in this film, film Los Muertos by Lisandro Alonso. The beginning of this film is the prison. The main character is in the prison and he is living the prison in one of the first sequence. But his life after prison is the long unlimited trip, probably to his house, but we don't know where is this house. It's probably the trip to his family, but his family is living in the heart of forest, and this the end of this trip is not the end as well. And his life after prison is also a kind of prison, because he is doing still this kind of activity which is dependent on, for example, his physiology. So he's still a prisoner. And the first moment of this film is the very factual, very realistic, very physical kind of prison. But in the rest of the film, the situation is still the same. Los Muertos, someone who is dead. It's not the someone alive, but it's someone who is rather inactive. So time and themes. I think that's maybe the most important thing in this elements, because this kind of film language, this kind of storytelling, it's not just for anything. It's not just the aesthetical decision. It's the most appropriate form of description of the most important themes, the most important topics for slow cinema filmmakers, because this narration is very useful for such themes as, for example, grief, alienation, lone lines, separation, isolation, intimate emotions, intimate experiences. Very often, very important in these films are death, dichotomy between atheism and desire for spiritual experience, materialistic nature of the world, as well as primal existence on the edge of civilization. That's very often used themes in those films. These films are about solitude, fatalism, boredom, melancholy, depression, long distance of protagonists with the world and other characters. So all of these themes are very well visible because of this model of narration and this storytelling, this long distance, this slow pace, this rare editing is absolutely necessary to show, to present this element of plot. And this is the characteristic model of film narration and characteristic elements of plot. You see here Juliette Binoche. It's very seldom situation in which the movie star is a star, is a character, is a star, but in this case also a character a bit in slow cinema films. Camille Claudel, 1915 film directed by Bruno Dumont. Maybe you saw this film. It's one of the most popular film by Bruno Dumont, who is absolutely great filmmaker, one of the biggest in contemporary cinematic life. And Juliette Binoche and his face and her face is in this film absolutely very intense. Neo-modernism. Why this word? I decided to use this word because of one additional element of slow cinema, which I think is really, really visible and important: the relations between a classical modernism of 50s, 60s, and 70s and contemporary neo-modernism. I'm absolutely convinced that today the art house cinema is in its renaissance. We've got a lot of fantastic filmmakers, a lot of great films, and maybe we had a kind of crisis in 80s and in 90s if we think about not only art house cinema but especially the influence of art house cinema on viewers. If we think about 50s and 60s and 70s, we remember about, for example, Antonioni, Fellini, Robert Bresson, and these directors were just big persons in culture, not only film culture, but in culture. And after modernism, after these decades, great decades of the history of art house cinema, we had a kind of crisis, maybe decline. But today, neo-modernism, slow cinema is the very evident proof, very evident sign that we have something new, excellent, splendid, and fantastic. I think the neo-modernism is a good example of that. I used the word neo-modernism because of few reasons. The first one, the relations between contemporary filmmakers and filmmakers from modernism are sometimes very well visible. For example, Bruno Dumont is very well connected with Robert Bresson. Tsai Ming-liang, that's contemporary Antonioni. Alexander Sokurov, contemporary Tarkovsky. So we have a lot of connections, very, very well visible relations between modernistic filmmakers and contemporary filmmakers. The next reason, the same model of film narration, but in modernistic time we have, of course, the kind of minimalism. But minimalism of neo-modernism, minimalism of slow cinema is amplified, is enlarged. But some elements, some components of film narration are the same. Of course, modernism was very various, so we've got in modernism very dynamic model of storytelling. For example, I don't know, Federico Fellini, he's very, very dynamic. But minimalism and modernism was also very well visible. Bresson, Antonioni are good patrons for contemporary filmmakers. And I think the renaissance of cinephilia, the renaissance of some new model of communication between filmmaker and viewer, of course, different kind of communications because of different kind of technology. I think this this connections are also the good proof of that, of this fact that we have the new period of time, the new period of history of cinema, in which neo-modernism is a good word. Okay, but it's the introduction. I think the best way is to show some films. I'd like to show you a few fragments of films. Cassaba by Nuri Bilge Ceylan, Le Quattro Volte by Michelangelo Frammartino, Elegy from Russia, Alexander Sokurov, Werkmeister Harmonies, Bellator, What Time Is There, Simon Liang, Battle in Heaven, Carlos Reigadas. Do you know these films? Which one? Nothing? Really? Yeah? Okay. So, for example, Cassava as the first one. I'd like to show you just the first fragment of this film. Where is it? Okay. Okay. This film was made in 1998. This film was directed by Nuri Bilge Ceylan. I think Nuri Bilge Ceylan is a very well known filmmaker because his last film, Winter Sleep, was awarded by Golden Palm at Cannes Film Festival. Absolutely great filmmaker from Turkey. And Cassaba is his debut. The title is a bit enigmatic, but Cassaba can be translated into English as the little town, something between village and town. So it's not it's the essence of being in provincial world. It's something between just village, but also by tradition and something modern as well. And this film is divided into four parts. I'd like to show you a fragment of the first one, and I don't want to describe anything about this film because it's just almost the beginning of this film, so we don't know anything what happened. And it's on this first fragment of this film. And like to show you this film and maybe a short discussion after this fragment. Okay.
Gunnar? Elif? Nazlı. İsmail.
Yok.
Evet Gökhan, sen parçamızı oku bakayım şöyle bir sesli olarak.
Aile bireylere arasında sevgi saygı bağlı. Aile aynı yerde oturup bir arada yaşayan bir topluluktur. Üzüntülere, mutluluklara daima ortaktır. Aile üzerinde saygı sevgi ve dayanışmasıdır. Aile bu haliyle milletin, devletin ve insanının bir değildir. Milli ve sosyal huzurun kaynağıdır. Bu huzurun düzen akrabaya komşuya, eşe, dosta ve bütün insanlara halka aileden bu yapıyı kuvvetli tutmak görevimizdir.
Çocuklar bir koku mu var sınıfta yoksa bana mı öyle geliyor?
Evet öğretmenim bir koku var.
O zaman çıkarsın bakayım herkes beslenmelerini. Sıranın üzerine koysun. Yiyecek kokusuna benziyor. Değil mi?
Evet.
Asiye, kızım fark etmiyor musun sen bunun koktuğunu?
Ha? Öğretmenim, ben bunun koktuğunu hissedemedim.
Zehirler seni bu kızım. Annen hiç dikkat etmiyor mu beslenmeye hazırlar? Hiç çocuğa böyle şey konur mu? Hadi kızım, götür at sen bunu elinize. Ben sana yiyecek bir şeyler ayarlarım. Annene de söyle, dikkat etsin. Olur mu? Hadi kızım. Evet, dersimizin konusu toplum hayatını düzenleyen kurallar. Kim okumak ister? Diğerleri iyi dinlesin. Çünkü arkadaşınızın okuması bitince anlattıracağım ona göre. Evet. Yok mu okumak isteyen? Nazlı, sen oku bakayım kızım.
Toplum hayatını düzenleyen kurallar. Toplum hayatının huzur, barış ve güvenlik içinde devamlılığı bir tarafın kurallara bağlıdır. Bunlar kişinin toplum içinde sadece kendini düşünerek huzursuzca hareket etmesini engeller. Bizler toplum hayatındaki ilişkimizde kurallara konulmuş olan emir ve yasak
geç olur. Arkadaşının kaldığı yerden devam et kız. Kızlarda dönün önünüze. Pınar'ın okuduğunu kitaplarınızdan izleyin. Hepinize sorabilirim. Hadi bakalım.
Okay, that's enough. At the beginning of this film, what do you think about this film, about this fragment of this film? Do you have an opinion? There's a big contrast between this text inside this book, school book. It's a regulation of social life, something very, very strict, very formal, and the situation inside the school, which is very soft, impressive, bored teacher and pupils who are sitting, sometimes sleeping, sometimes making a very special kind of conversation. It's not the conversation classical, but by using, for example, a feather, which is flying from one space to another, a cat. Acoustic elements. We've got, of course, the monologue of one of the pupils, one of the students. But sometimes the cat or door or something from the diegetical space of sound, but invisible is the most important thing in this moment. Something else?
It was very unpleasant to watch. I feel so painful. Graphic nervous elements.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's a kind of episodic also narration. It's not just the story, the plot, but a series of elements, serious observations. Very impressive. It's very funny because this film is, as I said, divided into four parts. It's really great storytelling. Because this film is about storytelling, exactly. The first part is inside the school, and this is the morning, and this is the winter. The second part is the return of two pupils to house, from school to house. It's spring, and it's the early afternoon. The third part is the evening, but also it's the late summer. And the third part is about a family which gathers around the fire and having the conversation about the last day. And the fourth part of this film is the late autumn, almost winter. It's it's night and preparing to sleep. So this film is not only about one day, but it's also the 1 year. So it's not the typical story, story which the beginning and the end, but rather circular story. Everything is still the same. But also this film is about, the beginning is about the common sense of life, because pupils, because of young people, the end is about death, because the last moment of this film is the dream of the main character, the young boy Ismail, who is dreaming the death of his grandfather. So the beginning is the commencement of life, the start of life, but the end of this film is something about the end of life, decay and death. As I said, this film is also about storytelling. Why? Because the first part is about school, about school books, about informations about life, about words, which are very formal and a bit useless. I think useless, because there is not connection between life, real life, and everything what's inside these books. The second part is about more physical way of experiencing life, because two pupils, as I said, are coming back to houses. But they didn't take the direct street, direct road, direct way, but something like a shortcut across wood, across bushes, across fields, and they experience world, experience nature in a very physical, carnal way. The third part is, as I said, the conversation of whole family around the fire, and this is the most primordial model of communication, of storytelling, because the oldest person of the family, the grandfather, is telling the story about his probably youth life when he was a teenager. So the space and time is very limited, but also very unlimited. Limited because of the space and the time of the evening, but it's unlimited because the power of storytelling is unlimited. He is telling a story, he is describing his maybe real, maybe fictional life when he was a teenager. He had a story about his big trip when he was a teenager to Iraq. So the time and the space is unlimited because of the power of storytelling. And the fourth part of this film is the another form of storytelling. It's the storytelling about imagination and about dreams, because dream is also a kind of storytelling. So this film is not very simple. This film is real maverick, real great work by Nuri Bilge Ceylan, one of the most, I think, fantastic filmmaker today. The second fragment is quite similar, but a bit different as well. Le Quattro Volte by Michelangelo Framartino. This film was made in... This film was made in 2010, so 6 years ago. This film was made by Michelangelo Framartino. Very funny, because this film was in distribution in Poland, but it's absolutely difficult to accept, just almost without words, almost without dialogues, only a few words, only, and very strange story. I'd like to show you only one fragment of the film, one big shot. Absolutely amazing and quite funny. Doug is a main character of this scene. Have you seen this film? Someone? Le Quattro Volte. It's not a very... The translation of this title is not very very good, because, in, for example, in English language, this title is translated into English, I think, it's a mistake. It's a wrong, because this title is translate Four Seasons. It's not Four Seasons. It's Four Energies. Four model of power. This is the main topic of this film. Power. Energy. Exactly energy. The source of energy.
Fragment of this film. One shot. Amazing shot. chaos.
Okay, sometimes slow cinema is funny. The Pythagoras is a patron of this film because Pythagoras believed that he can live four times, and in each of these times his soul is in different kind of creature. Okay. So the soul is wandering from one creature to another creature, and this film is divided into four parts, as in Pythagoras. In Pythagoras' concept, Pythagoras also, it's very funny because Pythagoras was absolutely convinced that that's true, these four phases of life, because he said that his very close friend was transferred into dog, and this barking dog here in this film is a kind of quotation from Pythagoras' life. So the film is divided into four parts. The first is about a man, about human, about old man who is dying. And the final scene of this first part is the sequence of this barking dog and goats and the beginning of chaos. The second part is about goat, and especially one small young goat who lost her mother and is going across the very mysterious wood and finally dying in very close to one of the wood. So the second part is about animal. The third one is about plant, because the third part is about one of this tree. This tree is chopped down by people and transferred into something like object necessary for probably the Catholic ceremony. That's the third part. Finally, this tree was in fire, was burned up. And the fourth part of this film is about mineral. So the first one human, second one animal, third one plant, the fourth one mineral. Because in the fourth part of this film, we have a charcoal. So this kind of coal from plant. And this is the main source of power, source of energy at the end of this film, and the end of this film is about smoke. The smoke is going across the world and probably is the end of this the cycle of life, the quattro volte. So this film is not about four seasons, although we've got four seasons: spring, summer, autumn, and winter. That's true. But it's not four seasons, but rather four kinds of energies, what sources of energy, without dialogues. It's a very amazing thing, because in a film, rather a man, human, is the character of this film. In Quattro Volte, human is dying. In 20 minutes, at the beginning of this film. And animal is equally important, plant is equally important, and mineral is equally important than human. Everything what is connected with life, or something which exists. What do you think about this sequence, about this one shot? Dog is great, I think. It's almost conscious, like. Okay. Do you have any opinions?
It's almost unbelievable, just shot this scene, to arrange it or somehow. I think it was not arranged, kind of arranged, but it would be very hard to act with animals.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing.
This is the masterpiece.
Yeah. Michelangelo Cromartino is a great filmmaker. It's not only a filmmaker, he's the visual artist. He made only two films in 2005, absolutely great, absolutely sad, absolutely marvelous film. In English, a gift or a present, rather a gift. It's about a woman who is probably possessed by devil, or maybe possessed by depression. Both of them are also possible. Amazing film, really. A gift of the present. And 2010, Quattro Volte. We are waiting for the third film. Maybe he's going to make a film next, the third film. Michelangelo Cromartino. Now I'd like to show you a next fragment. One of the most, maybe this one. Okay, What Time Is There? This film was made by Tsai Ing-liang. Do you know Tsai Ing-liang? Yeah, okay. Fantastic filmmaker, Taiwanese filmmaker. He is in crisis right now, so he is not making very good films right now, but in 1990s and the beginning of 21st century, he made a few absolutely masterpieces. This film, What Time Is There, is one of the most, I don't know, funny, but maybe it's not the greatest his film, but really good. I'd like to show you first two shots. I don't want to tell anything about these two shots, and the question is why? Why this first shot is so long? It's not very, very long, but it's a bit longer than it should be, probably. So, I don't want to tell you anything about these two scenes, the two shots, and just let's try to understand. I only tell you that this is the father and son, the father and son. We know that because in Tsai Ing-liang, in all of his films, the same actors play the same role. So one actor play always father, and one actor plays always sons. So we know only one thing, that this is the father and son. Okay. I think not that. What Time Is There, the film made in 2001. Okay, it's a very beginning of this film, two first shots, and let's discuss about this two shots. What do you think? What happened? Yeah.
I think his father is like undead.
Yeah.
Like it's the last thing of like before he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like sitting in the kitchen and then, like for me, the framing is like a prison for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that long shot, really long duration, but he cannot like move out of the frame.
Mm-hmm.
He just keep like acting, moving in the frame, and in the really like normal environment of the family. So it's like for me, it's like really like a prison for him.
Yeah,
even in his like last moment of his life,
mm-hmm.
he cannot like get out of this. Prison,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Okay, great, super. Okay. Yeah, that is inside between two shots, the first one and the second one. In the ellipsis, one of the most fundamental moments of a lot of films, that the father is completely removed from the diegetic word of this film. But really, in the first shot, we've got the absence of son, because a father is preparing a meal, he's waiting, he's smoking cigarettes, he's waiting for son, he is trying to call to him, Xiaokan, come. No, but son is absent. And in the second shot, the situation is completely different, because the father is absent, the son is present. And the son is talking to his father, because his father is in the urn of ashes. He's going to cemetery, and he's talking to his father. Don't worry, we are going through the tunnel. The tunnel is, I think, a universal metaphor of something which is the death or transmission from one word to another. I don't know, maybe in Chinese the culture is the same. Probably, I don't know. But it's very universal metaphor, universal allegory. And this going through the tunnel is a good visible way how to show the transmission from one word to another word. But the first shot is a bit too long, but it's the farewell shot, because the father is dying in the very first moment of the film. A bit funny, because Miao Tiao, the actor who is playing this role of father, is quite famous Taiwanese actor and a movie star in Cai Ming-liang films. And he's disappearing in the very first moment of this film. Of course, he's appearing at the very last moment of this film, but it's another story. But in this moment, disappeared. And the story is about completely something different. A bit different. So not about father. What time is there? What do you think about that once more? The conversation is one-directed. The father is talking to his son without answer. And in the second shot is the situation the same, and different because the son is talking to his father without answer. Of course, without answer. What time is there? What do you think?
What time is there where you are? Isn't it the metaphor for the son is asking him what time is there where you are now?
Yeah. Yes, of course. Because the scene is about separation.
Yeah.
It's not only in this moment, but in the next scenes of this film is about separation. For example, the Xiao Kang, the main character of this film, met a girl from China who is she is going to Paris, and she is in Paris, he is in Taipei. And the separation between main characters in these films is very physical, as well as mental, as well as emotional. But in this moment, of course, the separation is also very well visible. Yeah, true. Oh, 5 minutes only. Okay. Okay, I think it's not possible to show more fragments of film. I really recommend you show some other slow cinema films are very good, very great. Sokurov, Bruno Dumont, Bellator, Carlos Reigadas, Lisandro Alonso are absolutely splendid filmmakers, and I think slow cinema is one of the most powerful tendencies in contemporary art house cinema. Sometimes this model of film is a bit a kind of default of contemporary cinema. So it's not very easy to create a very good slow cinema film, but it's very easy to create slow cinema film because it's very easy to do it just without movement, camera in action, actors do anything. So it's very simple. We can do in the afternoon a slow cinema film without problems, but to make a very good slow cinema film is a big problem. But I think some filmmakers are absolutely great, so I recommend you to watch these films. If you have any questions, okay, thank you very much. Bye.